after our sizzling expose of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation's bizarre support of the AT&T T-Mobile merger, the organization whose main goal is to protect the image of LGBT people in the media is struggling to protect its own image. Due to the public outcry over the organization's odd endorsement of the merger, which many consider to be a sellout to corporate interests, will ultimately work against the interest of a free and open internet. And now, El Gran Presidente, Jared Barrios, has offered his resignation.
He may be gone, but what's really at stake here is net neutrality and the sad fact that most people have no clue how the internet even works. When advocacy groups lose the ability to admit they made a mistake, all is lost. Why not just say we're sorry and refute the endorsement?
Join us for this and all the hot news. Marilyn Monroe's iconic 7-year itch dress fetches a record-breaking $4.6 million.
Amy Winehouse is back and as messy as ever.
Killer clowns.
And if we discover the secret identity of Randall, the man behind the Honey Badger videos on YouTube?
Find out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Yo soy la pequeña. I'm Amy Winehouse.
You don't look so pequeña from here.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
All that muscle you put on.
Oh, I'm just a little flower.
They tried to take me to rehab and I said, no, no, no.
Amy Winehouse is back from rehab and she is as messy as ever. She returned to the stage for a comeback concert in Belgrade just a couple nights ago, and the audience left with boos and hisses and sadness in their hearts.
What were they expecting? Like a good show from her?
I don't know. You know, after a certain point, it's like with an artist like Amy Winehouse. I'm pronouncing it like the great drag queen La Pequeña. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are on YouTube, she was from Chile or Colombia.
Chile.
She's just Chilean. She's a little person
from Santiago,
but big in star quality. Mm-hmm. And you know, she really perfectly captured Amy Winehouse in a 2-minute video. But so Amy Winehouse, the real Amy Winehouse, came back from rehab and was an hour and a half late. She showed up to her concert. She stumbled and mumbled through her own songs, and the audience was like parents are with a special needs child at a birthday party, and when they're singing their, you know, most kids know what happy birthday sounds
yes.
like, right? And if it's a special needs kid, and if you've ever been to a birthday party, they're all going, happy birthday.
Like trying to get them to sing along with
it. To you. That's right. Keep singing. You know, and Amy Winehouse is like, she's so messy. She's like dropping her microphone, dropping her stand, slurring and coughing.
Well, is she high and drunk, or do you think she's mentally ill? Does she have a mental problem there?
Well, you know, when some people do, I don't know what she's done to her mind and if she just suffers from mental illness, or is this a self-induced or a combination of both, but you know, it's really, to me, very heart-wrenching and sad. Somebody with such an amazing voice and musical ability is just flushing it out the window.
Yeah, but it's like, what are you going to do, though, if you're mentally ill? My guess is she probably has some kind of like bipolar or something. Because people have always said, like, she was always talented as a teenager, but there's always just something like, you know, messed up about her. And a lot of people, they try and self-medicate through drugs and alcohol. And I think that's what she's tried to do. You know, to her, it's like getting high on crack cocaine is like, it's normalizing.
And sometimes, you know, being an entertainer and being the media spotlight is intense.
Right.
And sometimes you just want to pull out that crack pipe, join Whitney Houston in the great museum of lost souls.
And concerts never start on time. An hour late is like, it's nothing.
Well, all the concerts we've been involved with start on time because I was involved. Because I'm like, I don't care if she's going to be, I'm going to put on a wig and lip sync her act or lip sync in the way, you know, you do it. But so Amy Winehouse, future shows in Athens and in Istanbul have been canceled.
No, really?
Yeah. That's so sad.
Oh, she just put out that one album and she'll just never, I mean, I don't think she'll ever regain it. She'll never be together again.
When an artist tells you, they try to take me to rehab and I said, no, 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 you better believe it.
But I think she made enough money off that album. She never really has to work again. That song was huge.
It's even a bigger miracle that Lady Gaga gets anything done at all.
Lady Gaga worked for it from the time she was a little kid.
Yeah, but, so, you know, you don't know. Amy Winehouse also went to, like, an arts school.
She sang, but she dropped out. She's a high school dropout. Huh? And she's like, I'm going to go sing.
She tried to take me to rehab, and I said, no, no, no.
Who wants to go to rehab in Eastern Europe anyway? What is that even like? It's probably just, like, lots of, like, cold showers, and they spray you down with hoses. And
but I hear the sauerkraut is amazing. Mm. It's really delicious. You know, Amy Winehouse is a mess, but she's not as big of a mess as our financial situation right now.
Well, that's rough.
Oh, my goodness, people. So last month, we were in dire straits because of the enormous costs of creating and delivering the Feast of Fun podcast. We almost had to shut down. We sounded the alarm, and you, the audience, stepped up to save the show, but we still need your help. We are not in the clear since we do not have any major advertisers at the moment. We are truly relying on your support to make the show happen.
Many podcasts that produce shows at the level of Feast of Fun offer some sort of membership program in order to listen to them. And we've been reluctant to implement something like this because there are so many young people that for personal or financial reasons can't afford to contribute to the show. There's a lot of energy right now about what to do for the youth, and we want to continue providing easily available information and entertainment for free. We aim to keep Feast of Fun free so that anyone, no matter who they are, can access the show and hear the rainbow of LGBT voices come in loud and clear.
I mean, who else would have broken the story between GLAAD's bizarre endorsement of the AT&T T-Mobile merger, which we'll get to in a second, following up on that? Who else has done an in-depth interview with Blake Skellerup?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the amazing shows that we have given to you guys free, with no strings attached. And we need your support today. Right now, we are not going to be around next month if we are not able to make the goal that we're trying to reach right now on the site. Right now, if you go to feastoffun.com/donate, you can make a contribution of $25 or even more. We urge you to do it. Right now, we've only raised this month $501. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even cover our internet hosting bill for this month. We're not going to make it. So unless we can count on your support, if you take action right now, if you have not given, please, and you enjoy the programming, please, please consider donating a portion of your tax return. Sell off some of that jewelry that you've got sitting around. You know, when you're long gone, really, you know, that the family jewels, are they really going to matter?
But the show will still be around. And I want to encourage people, if you've given in the past, if you've been listening since 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2008, or even since last year, if you donated in one of those years, you know, please consider donating again. I heard from many people that said, oh, I haven't donated since 2006. And, you know, when you think about $25 over 4 years, that's really, I mean, it's not very much money at all.
You probably spent more money on chewing gum. Okay?
Right. You know? So we really do need your support. So please visit feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution. And I do want to thank the people that have donated since the last show that we've done. Derek in Chicago. Justin.
Hi, Derek.
Justin, who writes, thank you, Mark and Fausto, for always producing such a great show every day. My partner and I are getting married next month, so funds are a little thin right now. I will donate more later this year. Keep up the great work, Justin.
Justin, what I want you to do is to take some of that silverware from your wedding and take it to a pawn shop and send us a check.
Yes. And congratulations on
getting married. Congratulations. Uh-huh. You know, if you're in Chicago, invite us.
Sam in Los Angeles. Bruce in Connecticut, who writes, hi, Fausto and Mark. Hope this helps with the site and all. Maybe I will even get a thanks on the podcast this time. Lol. Take care, guys, and all the best. Bruce. Well, there you go, Bruce.
Bruce, if you ever donated in the past and we did not read or thank you on the show, just write to us.
Yes.
And well, we read every single email. We read every single comment on the website. And if you take the time to let us know that you feel like you got left out or that we overlooked you, we sincerely apologize, because we do count on your money and we count on your support to make this show possible. We are not going to be around next month if we do not reach our goal.
And so I want to give a little caveat there. Most of the time before in the past when people would write and donate money, I would thank them personally in an email. Not really much on the show, but because we are in such dire straits right now, we really want to draw attention to who's really helping us out and the names of people so that we have a thank you to them. I also want to thank Fabian, who's a hot bisexual in Germany.
See, bisexual people do listen to the show.
Yes, they do exist.
Angela Wells, too, yes, who's recently bi. Donated, and she's done a remarkable job on researching and helping to set up interviews for us, the one most recent with Blake Skellerup, and she's even working on a very distinguished British actor who's well known for his appearances in Lord of the Rings and X-Men.
Well,
and
it's not,
it's not Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
Right. Oh, Patrick Stewart wasn't in Lord of the Rings, was he?
No, he was not.
So you can guess who it is. But so we want to get him on the show, and we count on your support. If you cannot financially donate, write to Sir Ian McKellen. And,
oh, now you gave it away.
Well, I want people to write to him and say, you got to go on Feast of Fun. We want this to happen. So so take action. Go to Sir Ian McKellen's Facebook page. Find his email address. We don't really know what his email address even is. So if you anybody out there knows, help us out.
And we promised last month, we said if we raised enough money that we Saltina... And yes. Daphne would return. So they are returning. So Mark and Faust are going to take a little break this week, and they're going to host one of the shows for us.
You know, when you convince people that you're not the person that you're impersonating.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You have to speak yourself in the first person and them in the third person. Oh. Not the other way around.
I did do that, didn't I?
No, you said Mark and Faust are going to take a little break. And I'm like, Mark, you are Mark and Fausto. So say, I'm going to take a little break. Oh.
Okay.
And... our friends, Daphne and Saltina, are going to be on tomorrow giving it to you the real dirt.
Oh, I'm so sorry I fucked that up.
Well, if you were like Superman and Clark Kent, people would find out in like 5 seconds who you
were. No, they wouldn't. They would never know.
They'd be like...
I put on glasses and I walk around my neighborhood. Nobody knows who I am.
Listen, people. Daphne Dumont and Mark Fillion are the same person. I hate to break the
story. I don't think you're fooling anyone.
You know, if you go to YouTube right now, you can watch Daphne Dumont's hilarious video on how to trap a man.
Is that up already?
It's up, girls.
No.
It is up, and it's basically...
Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Why are you so embarrassed about that?
I'm embarrassed for Daphne. She's crazy.
Daphne is you, Mark.
No, Daphne's not me.
Daphne is a reflection of you.
Daphne's my imitation of you.
Well, that's funny because Saltina, the drag character that I do, is a reflection of you.
I thought that was Kennedy Monroe.
I'm
sorry, T.S. Michelle.
That's right.
And Austin, T.S. Michelle Austin of Shemale Yum.
Well, a lot of the drag characters that we do are inspired by many delightfully kooky video bloggers, some trans, some not trans, on YouTube. And all the behind-the-scenes drag queens that we deal with that, you know, really color our lives in such rich, exciting ways. Like the queens from RuPaul's Drag Race that were supposed to be on today's show.
But are not.
We booked them. It was all said and done. Mark made all this delicious Puerto Rican food. And that's not even your culture.
No. I'm a good cook at it.
You're Puerto Rican by marriage, not by, you know, having lived long periods of time in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And yet you've managed like some, you know... polyglot of the culinary world. Mm-hmm. Polyglot is somebody who speaks many languages.
Yes, I know. It's a glot, actually.
Polyglot.
Polyglot.
Polyglotic. Yes. Polygastronomical wonder that you are. You managed to make fantastic Puerto Rican food, and these queens just gave you the finger.
Well, I have to say there was one that was confirmed, and I actually drove down there to pick her up at the hotel and texted her, and she's like, "Aw, I can't do it today.
We had from, we had confirmed four queens and we got zero.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of shitty.
Well, it's, you know, it reflects on them more than anything. Yeah. And it's just, you know, and
I just don't want to turn to one of those shows as like, we were going to have Margaret Cho and Dan Choi on today's show, but they weren't able to make it.
Right. And I was asking, I asked my friend, you know, our friend Larry LaFontaine, who does queer studies. I said, do you want me to ask him any questions on the show? And he's like, oh, yes. Please tell them I'm writing a book on Puerto Rican drag queens. Maybe I'll include them. And I was just like, maybe not now.
Well, that's the thing about it. If you want to be included in interviews and books, you have to actually show up to do them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people can't love you if they don't know you exist.
That's true.
You know, and if you stand people up, it's like, why would they want to work with you in the future?
That's right.
It's not, you know, I have no ill will against them. I think they are fantastic performers. And I wish them nothing but the best, but they chose not to be involved in this, and that's their choice, and that's okay, you know, because we have to focus on who is here, who wants to be on the show, and that was a bunch of people involved with GLAAD and Net Neutrality.
Wow.
So last week, about a week and a half ago, right?
I think it was, you want to set an exact date, so we interviewed him on, what was it, Wednesday of last week?
Yes.
No, Wednesday, a week ago Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So it was a week ago Wednesday. So about a week and a half.
And we posted that. We were probably one of the few media sources that actually interviewed Jarrett Barrios, the president of GLAAD. Mm-hmm. And we talked to other people involved with net neutrality and bloggers that are covering it. And man, since then, shit has hit the fan. I want to do a shout out, though, to Mike Rogers, to Phil Rees, Rex Walkner, and Bill Browning.
From Balearico?
Yeah, from Balearico.com, who all credited us with exploding this story, giving it the kick and the dynamite that it needed to get media attention and to get then the heavyweight bloggers to actually scream foul. Mm-hmm. And sadly, what we wanted was GLAAD, a very important, very influential grassroots advocacy organization, to change their stance on net neutrality and the AT&T T-Mobile merger. Instead, because for some bizarre reason, they are incapable of admitting they are wrong about
anything. I know, it's the craziest thing in the world. Why not just refute it? Why not learn from this experience and say, you know what, this was a mistake. We shouldn't have endorsed this. We retract our endorsement, and we're going to issue a statement on net neutrality.
Did you just say the word refute?
I said, listen, I have incorporated refute into my vocabulary.
Just learn how to pronounce it. It's refute.
Refute. Repudiate. Refute.
That's a Sarah Palinism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's in the dictionary now, isn't it?
I guess Sarah Palin put it in there.
Well, no, I think Old Oxford said they were going to put it in there. They said, you know what? She's not the first person to say refute, though.
Used it in a weird way, didn't she?
No, she used it the way you meant to use it, which is to repudiate. But it's fun to say. It's easy because repudiate is kind of like puh. That puh sound is weird. So refudiate sounds more
elegant.
It's
like you're refusing and repudiating.
Yes, it's a combination of the same. Disavow, okay. Disavow.
So instead of GLAAD being able to say, you know what, we fucked up, we're sorry. They didn't. Instead, that, you know, people are calling for GLAAD to dissolve as an organization. They're calling for it to lose their funding. And GLAAD's done some important things. You know, it should, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. I just think it's the people are not understanding. I think what the story exposes tragically
more than anything
is that the LGBT media, generally speaking, does not understand how their computers work or how the internet works. They don't even spend their time reading blogs or following podcasts or video blogs. They don't even care about what's happening on the internet. And so that's why they were kind of like half asleep when the story came out. And it's only the internet media, the bloggers and people like us that were like sounding the alarm that then the rest of the world woke up. Mm-hmm. But the sad thing is that GLAAD is just one organization that AT&T has bought out. They've bought out hundreds of grassroots advocacy groups to endorse this merger with hopes that it's going to persuade the FCC to allow it to go through, to allow them to become a bigger, hairier orange gorilla attacking the unicorns of equality wherever they may be. And
I have to say, yeah. Fausto, that graphic that you made for the show with Jarrett was absolutely fantastic.
Thank
if the
you.
Listeners haven't seen it, it's this, you know, a unicorn staring down that orange gorilla, and then it has Lily Tomlin's, what was her character's name?
Ernestine,
the operator. Who worked for Ma Bell.
AT&T's predecessor.
And then up in the background, it was AT&T, like the Death Star staring down at you.
And I have to say that if there was a Pulitzer Prize for that, I think I should earn it.
Oh, for that photo montage.
For that graphic.
Yes.
You know?
I think you should.
It was fucking awesome. But I did steal the gorilla image from King Kong.
Oh, yeah. It is King Kong.
It is. Yeah, but I colored it orange.
Why did... Oh, because their color is... AT&T's colors are orange
Isn't
and blue
weird?
Or something?
Yeah, AT&T's logo is blue, but all their corporate colors and their corporate symbol is orange.
Hmm.
And then in their commercials, they're like, we're expanding our networks. And they're showing the way they expand the network is kind of like a tomato mosaic virus infecting a plant.
What?
It's like a virus. It's like a disease growing across a city. And I'm like, that's not the kind of image you want your company to be associated with. You know, like that horrible movie that starring Dustin Hoffman about a disease that spread all over the city.
Virus?
It was something like that.
It's called virus, right?
Yeah. Or, you know, pathogen or something like that. And it's just...
This is our monopoly. Fingers growing.
Like, you know, like a worm crawling over. Wasn't there like the blob taking over the city? You know, that's what AT&T thinks of itself as the blob. Sadly, they spend more money, you know, trying to buy out people like AT&T, which they really should be advertising on this podcast.
Mean.
Yeah, I'm glad. They should be advertising on this podcast.
AT&T should are glad.
Oh, yeah. Because I'd turn 180 degrees and be like, AT&T is wonderful.
Well, listen, use the service if you want to use the service, but it's like, it shouldn't be the only choice.
Yeah.
We should not have a duopoly, because then we're screwed.
I know. I actually enjoyed being a T-Mobile customer, and the reason I left T-Mobile is so I could use an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it was. And I, you know, I kind of regret it, you know, because my cell phone did work at home, and using an iPhone doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a cell tower now in our house, though.
Yeah, and who knows if we're getting radiation out of that thing.
I know, we're totally probably getting radiation.
We're going to die in days from now.
But yeah, you just call, if you don't get a good reception at home, just call them up and complain, and they'll be like, okay, take one of these things. They'll give it to you for free.
Well, and so back to the story, I think it is unfair, and I think it's a mistake that Jarrett Barrios resigned.
Because I would rather have him come forward and say and refute.
Like, and he didn't look, Mark, get over what? That word. He didn't even meet with the people from Save the Net. You know, they didn't even go on their coffee date, which I was willing out of my own pocket to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we have zero balance in like to do this podcast, I still believed in net neutrality. Even though we may not be around a month from now to actually do this podcast, I believe so strongly in that I wanted them to meet each other face to face, because I think that LGBT people and these grassroots organizations need to get involved. You know, this is the future of the internet as we know it. This is what you have access to right now. Mm-hmm. Your Facebooks, your Googles, the next generation of Facebooks and Googles and podcasts and YouTubes and It Gets Better and, you know, no hate campaigns. Those may not be a reality or a possibility 5 years from now, because we're not taking adequate efforts to save the internet. Mm-hmm. And right. It sounds alarmist. It sounds like the sky is falling. And I'm the first person to tell you when something is bullshit. This is not bullshit, honey. This is the bullshit alarm. I'm not ringing it. Well, I just
you're sending mixed messages there. Well, the whole thing is though, too, it's like you have to take care of the problem now. You can't let this happen, because it's hard to get these things back once they're gone.
Interestingly enough, Perez Hilton or Mario Lavandera, whatever his real name is, actually has spoken out about GLAAD.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea he actually used to work for GLAAD.
Wow.
So,
I had no idea either.
Yeah.
And now he thinks it's a worthless organization.
Listen to him say in his own words.
Obviously, I come from a slanted perspective. I used to work at GLAAD, and I think GLAAD is a useless organization. I want to start my own gay nonprofit called HAPPY, Homosexuals and Perverts Protecting You. I think perverts are far underlooked. We need more pervert action in America. I mean, also, and this is, I don't really mean perverts, but one thing, GLAAD is way too politically correct. They are afraid of sex and trying to keep that aspect of gay life in the closet when it's not the most important, but it is an important part of gay life, and we should embrace it all. You know, we should be more sex positive, and I don't see GLAAD doing work in the field. I think that Lambda Legal, they're in the trenches, man. They're making stuff happen. The grassroots work that people like Dan Choi are doing, that people on the internet are doing themselves with their friends, that is what is really bringing about change and getting people activated and excited. I mean, I remember being in California around that whole Prop 8 time, and when it was overturned, and then all the developments and the marches and the rallies, and was GLAAD doing anything? No. Most of the things that happened then were because of people on the internet that were citizen activists. And that's really exciting. I love the internet, and I love that social media has really helped make your average gay person involved in the community and involved in being a conduit for change.
So the message at its core is that you make it happen. And it is a kind of a pandering kind of thing to say, you know, like the Time Magazine person of the year in 2006 was you, the content creator, the people on the internet. But I think what this boils down to is the value of net neutrality and how the internet works, is that all of us collectively can create profound difference.
I think you owe the listeners an apology for unleashing Perez Hilton on them. I don't ever do that again.
Why
without
did,
a
why
warning.
Did you not? We warned them. We told them who was going to be heard. Why do you
I don't
feel
know.
That
it
way?
Just feels like you just sprung it on me. It was like, what, Perez? You put him on the show? I don't know.
Do you disagree with anything that he said?
Do I disagree? Yes, I do disagree with him.
What did you dislike?
Well, he says GLAAD is a worthless organization. I'm not saying it's like should be as well funded as it is. But I definitely think that we do need a media watchdog. We need somebody that's going to work with you know, media companies to teach them how to accurately portray gay people or LGBT people. And when things do that come up that are anti-gay, we need somebody that's forceful that will take action on that.
It's interesting that for all these people who used to work for GLAAD, they all hate their guts.
I know.
It's like, Lori Piper went on one of those talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the guy?
I don't remember.
And so she basically said that, you know, GLAAD needs to get all this funding cut and all this other stuff. And it was like, it comes across a little bit as sour grapes.
Right. And so maybe his comes across as a little sour grapes too, Perez Hilton's.
But if you've actually, you know, if you actually work with these people and you're going, you know, they're all going around saying these people suck. They're really evil.
Listen, I've worked at jobs before too, and the people there really did suck. But also too, I think a lot of that too is what your frame of mind is like while you're at the job as well.
And when you give of yourself so much to a nonprofit organization, it can be frustrating when you don't see the kind of change you want to see, and the people that are in control on the board of directors move in a direction that's slow or opposite to what you think needs to be done.
Well, it's like your goals aren't met and you think, I want that, and it's not that.
So I can guarantee you that we nor Perez Hilton will ever win a GLAAD Media Award. Moving on, what's next?
Oh, Debbie Reynolds had her Hollywood auction. I'm so excited she sold, like, because, you know, she's collected stuff for years, and she even had a museum in Las Vegas, which people, you know, she closed, I think, in the late 90s, I think is when that closed. And she's had, like, Marilyn Monroe's dresses, Judy Garland's dresses, the ruby
Judy
shoes.
Judy Garland's shoes.
Her shoes from The Wizard of Oz, all sorts of classic Hollywood stuff. I guess a lot of it she bought, like, in the 1970s. One of the studios sold it, and she's bought Marilyn Monroe's dress from a 7-year itch for $200. Guess how much she just sold it for?
$200, 7-year itch. This is the dress where Marilyn Monroe walks over a radiator grill, mm-hmm. and it blows up her, exposing her panties. Mm-hmm. It's when we think of Marilyn Monroe, we think of that image.
Right.
And how much did it go for?
It went for $4.6 million.
Only $4.6 million? Couldn't afford the billion-dollar price tag?
No, but actually, you know, everything, they have a 20% buyer's premium, tax and fees are added on to everything. So really, the person that paid for it paid over $5 million for it. Yeah. So the ruby red slippers from The Wizard of Oz sold for $510,000. Now, there's four sets of those shoes out there, but one of them's missing.
One of them got stolen.
Yeah, like several years ago, I think like 2006, they've stolen. So who knows where the ruby red slippers are?
I'm sure some rich drag queen in the middle of nowhere is doing a fierce fashion show.
She's like, here it is.
Look at them.
Dorothy's dress that was worn in The Wizard of Oz sold for $910,000. Isn't that amazing?
Only $910,000.
Well, how much did you think it was going to be worth?
It's just like, I'm trying to point out that it's a lot of money by sort of playing down that it's 100.
Well, and so Debbie was interviewed because, you know, her real motivation is she wanted to have a museum show. She was quoted as saying, "I'm a fan of all these great stars and I wanted to save their moment for a museum for the future. I did not reach that goal and that makes me sad. But these things will be shared with people that love the stars as much as I do."
I imagine Debbie Reynolds probably was shooting some movie somewhere sometime and just like during her coffee break walked over and said, "Do you want that old dress? Here's $200. Give it to me." And she just kept it, you know, because here she is during Hollywood's golden age. Debbie Reynolds, who's adorable and so...
You'd give her anything.
Yeah, she's non-threatening, and she was making good coin back then. So she could have, you know, she bought cars and she bought costumes, and her collection is amazing.
It's a total... And this is, I think, she still has other stuff, I'm sure. I'm sure all of her stuff didn't get sold.
Which even blows me away that we had her on as a guest on the show to begin with, and now it's like... She doesn't have to work for the rest of her life.
So she really just performs probably because she loves to perform. She's not doing it to make any coin.
But then she should be like as bad as she wants to be. You know, like Debbie Reynolds, you know, to uncensored. Because she can be filthy.
She can?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that?
I just, you know, I know people who know her. I spoke to her fans in the audience.
She's foul mouth.
She's a dirty grandma. A sailor? She's like a dirty grandma, yeah.
Well, so I hope she's getting some.
I'm sure she's getting some. But she, you know, the other thing too is like the relationship between her and her daughter, Carrie Fisher, is a little bit rocky. As most mothers are with her, you know.
They live
daughters.
Next door to each other. How rocky can it be?
She says that she has to lay down on the driveway in order to get her daughter to pay attention to her and to answer her phone.
She's being dramatic.
I don't know. My mother and my sister are kind of have that same kind of relationship. Mm. So, you know. Who knows what that might be, but man, congratulations to Debbie Reynolds and the Hollywood Museum for getting record.
I don't know what the total take was though. I got to figure that out. I couldn't find it in this article.
Well, this is also not all the items that were sold were reported on. Mm-hmm. So you know, it might have been Marilyn Monroe's eye patch. Well, from when she got bonked in the eye.
Right. So we don't know what
something
the
like
is.
That. I can imagine Marilyn Monroe had an eye patch, standing around like a pirate.
She could work that look though if she had an eye patch. Some people look sexy with an eye patch.
Have you ever had an eye patch?
I never had an eye patch. No, that I had to wear. No.
Did you ever go on a date with someone with an eye patch?
No.
Like I'm my with brother, a pirate.
My brother had to wear an eye patch. They don't really recommend eye patches for people to wear anymore because they kind of hold in like moisture and bacteria, so that you don't really ever want to. You rarely ever wear one anymore.
Here's a pro tip for the listeners: if you ever get pink eye, one of the best quick home remedies is take an eye cup wash and go buy. If you don't wear contact lenses, get some contact lens solution. The boric acid in the contact lens solution that's there naturally makes a wonderful disinfectant for your eye. So take like a shot glass or an eye cup, fill it with about, you know, a couple spoonfuls of contact lens solution and rinse out your eye several times a day. And your pink eye, your eye infection will go away like that.
Or just use vodka.
I wouldn't recommend using vodka.
I wouldn't either. That would burn. What did I get in my eye? I got salad dressing in my eye the other day. Oh my God, did that burn? I was
the
just
vinegar.
Like, ow,
it was the
ow.
Vinegar, not the yeah. oil.
Well, I think it was the vinegar and the salt and probably the garlic.
Ouch.
So a bunch of all those different things.
But it was a delicious, mm-hmm. your eye tasted delicious.
Yes. And unusual news here in Chicago, an off-duty Chicago cop just did a performance. So he was dressed up as a clown and he was going out to his car. And then a teenager came over to him with a gun and demanded his money. So then they got into a fight. The cop was able to get the gun away from the teenager and then shoot him dead.
And all these blogs all over the internet are writing the headline, cop dressed as clown kills teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, it's not exactly that.
Well, that's what happened.
Well, yeah, but the teenager was attacking him.
Yeah.
So with a gun.
But it's like, it's just interesting, you know, it's like, killer clowns, you know, because people are afraid of clowns. So clowns with guns are even scarier.
And it's a cop. So the clown's not going to go to jail for
and
it.
And what kind of idiot would try and rob a clown in the first place? Would you even think a clown has money? And clowns have all sorts of tricks up their sleeves. I mean, you know, if he didn't get the gun away from him, he could have gotten him with like a water, like from coming out of a flower on his jacket, or, you know, he could have electrocuted him with one of those hand buzzers.
You're thinking of the Joker from the original Batman movie.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson.
But all those clowns do that. That's all slapstick comedy.
Yeah, it's a good thing he didn't have like a you know? Boxing glove on a gurney inside his coat that comes out and punches him in the face.
And he was getting into his car. He didn't know. He could open that door and he might have had like a clown posse come out of that car and attack him.
You don't know how many clowns are inside those
little
cars.
Yeah, you don't know.
They can fit many clowns into a Honda Civic, a Ford Fiesta.
Speaking of clowns.
Cars that don't exist anymore.
Rush Limbaugh is coming out with his own brand of iced tea. Two if by tea.
I bet so that tea is full of sugar.
I bet it's horrible. But it's also, it's like not to placate the Tea Party people, but also it's kind of Paul Revere with the two if by tea. And he's also making a play on Sarah Palin with her whole, you know, screw up of the Paul Revere ride. And
I think Rush Limbaugh doesn't like Sarah Palin. Is that true?
He's not a big fan of hers. No, he thinks she's kind of dumb. Which I think most people kind of think she is. And then in other news, Bristol Palin is coming out with her autobiography, and she pretty much says that she was date raped by Levi Johnson. And I mean, I shouldn't joke about it, but it's like they did date afterwards. But I guess they had gone camping. She said they got drunk. She got up the next morning and she didn't realize. She's like, did I have sex last night? She didn't really know. So she asked him about it. And she's like, yeah, we had sex. And then they had agreed that they wouldn't have sex again until they got married. But then they started having sex again. And then she got pregnant later.
You know, Bristol Palin's ability to be taken seriously is out the window. Mm-hmm. So maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. But we don't know because there's so much crazy lies coming out of that family. Who knows what's the truth?
Right.
It says here that she said his reaction when finding out he was a daughter was, better be a fucking boy.
Oh, that she was pregnant?
Yeah.
He wanted a boy. They're all tools.
I would happily, right now, have sex with Levi Johnston.
Yeah.
And have his baby.
But babies don't live.
We could still try.
Well, speaking of mating, though, there's these tiny little insects. They live in the water. They're called water boatmen. And they play a song by rubbing their ribbed penis against their belly to attract a mate. And the sound that they produce is so loud that on average it reaches 79 decibels, about the level of a ringing phone or a cocktail party. But at its peak, it reaches 105 decibels, which is akin to the sound that a car horn or a power tool or a passing subway train makes.
Wow. I've been with some guys who had penises that were noisy.
What?
Noisy penises.
What do you mean they had a noisy penis? Oh, because it's slapping against your face. No, they're rubbing it against their own belly. And because they're rubbing it, and so they're trying to get a mate. And I guess the thing is that most animals, like the reason why it's gotten so loud is because they have no predators that are zoning in on the sound. Because otherwise you'd want to keep quiet.
Yeah, that's why lightning bugs turn on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So their predators can't find them, but they can find each other and have sex.
I think I was
get
like,
it on.
I haven't seen any this year. Any lightning bugs? Are they late coming
it's not,
out?
It's not this time of year. They're like a fall late summer
what?
Season. Oh yeah.
No,
it's
no.
not been warm it, enough.
It's they got to be coming out like next week. We're almost in July.
I know. I love when the lightning bugs come out. I just like I love walking in our neighborhood and the you know no matter how horrific things can be, it's like.
Lightning bugs make it all better.
Yeah.
You know, the males kind of read bluish green, and the females read red for the most part. And so the females, though, usually aren't flying around. They're usually in the grass. So if you see something glow in the grass and it's kind of red, that's the female.
I'd like to make myself believe that the planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I stay awake when I'm asleep, because everything is never as it seems when I fall asleep.
Is that that horrible song that people were
it's so doing? Stupid.
It's like, you know what? That's like a song for a 13-year-old girl. It's perfect for that.
Because I get
boy.
1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they try to teach me how to dance. A fox trot above my head, a sock hop beneath my bed. A disco ball is just hanging by a thread.
Ooh.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. I want to. This is so crazy, this report. Michael in Norfolk, he's got a blog. He reports that United Continental Airlines embarrassed a gay couple. So someone at the United Continental Airline baggage handling went into a gay couple's luggage during inspection, found this big, giant purple dildo, which was inside the bag.
That's hot.
Took it out. Taped it to the outside of the bag. And needless to say, the gay couple were completely mortified to find their bag revolving around a carousel for the whole world to see with this giant purple dildo taped to the outside. And the crazy thing about it, though, is that it had also been dosed with some sort of lube that suggested that it had just been used. So they've complained to the company.
Hold on a second. So mm-hmm. the couple...
They took a dildo.
The dildo fell out of their luggage.
No,
baggage handler used it on themselves.
Well, this is what they're thinking, because they both had their name tags, both male names on the tag of the luggage. That it went through the X-ray. Somebody found it. They saw it in there. They said, "Oh, let's take it out. Let's make fun of these gay guys." So they taped it to the outside of the bag, and then they put some kind of like oily substance on it. Not that it had actually been used by these people, but the whole object of it was to humiliate these people.
Or maybe the other theory, which, and you know, if you watch enough X-Files, mm-hmm. the simpler theory is usually the right one.
And what's one's that?
Is that the baggage handlers got horny and used it on themselves.
Maybe. Maybe they'll have to do some tests to see.
It was Trans World Airlines. Mm.
I don't think so. It was United Continental.
Well, just don't listen. If you like dildos in your luggage, mm-hmm. don't fly United Continental.
Well, the thing is, though, too, like, listen, everybody has a right to take whatever sex toys they want to
Absolutely.
Take on a vacation or buy things where you want to. I don't think I would do it.
What?
I don't think I would take, if I had a dildo, I don't think I would take it on vacation with me.
Well, how are people supposed to go to the sex conferences mm-hmm. then?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
I mean, you know, if you're going to go to Folsom Street or IML or Leather
and then you buy
XYZ.
Stuff. I guess if you buy stuff too when you're on vacation. Because maybe they bought it on vacation. Like, yeah, let's buy it. Let's bring it home.
Sadly, like
a
in
deal
Texas.
Like this. Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead. What you were
a
saying.
A deal like this. How can we not buy it?
in Texas, it was only... until very recently, and right. correct me if I'm wrong, it still might be, to own a certain number of dildos.
Oh, really? You could only have so many?
So many. Otherwise, you were contraband. You were planning to sell them.
Well, weren't they selling them for a while, like as instructional
It was to teach items? People how to put on a condom.
And I want to say that in like in Alabama, I think it still might be illegal to like sell those kinds of things. It's just ridiculous.
Moving on, we're going to expose today the true identity of Randall. Honey Budget don't care. Possibly his true identity. But first, let's go to questions from people on our Facebook page. You can join in and comment on the shows either on the website feastoffun.com or also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/feastoffun. And Daryl Miller goes to say, have you two been watching The Voice? I would love to hear about your comments about that.
I've watched like one episode. The only thing that I can really say is about that is that I don't really believe that any of those judges on that show are 100% straight. I think they all read gay to me. Each and every one of them.
April Skank. I mean, April April Sprank. Mm-hmm. That's, sorry, it's not... No, please forgive me, April.
April Sprank.
April Sprank. S-P-R-A-N-K. I'm sure I'm not the first person to make that mistake.
I'm sure she went through hell in high school.
Sorry, April.
Unless she married into the Skank family.
Sprank.
Oh, yeah.
Sprank. How did the two of you meet? Was it love at first sight? So... I went up to Mark and I said, do I know? We were in back when the day we lived close to a leather bar, which was really convenient because they sold dollar beers. And Mark and me and my sister and our friends used to hang out there. We were not into leather. And I went up to Mark and I said, don't I know you from the internet? Because I had been chatting on somebody on AOL whose photo he sent me was one of those scanned picture frame photos that you buy at the pharmacy, and he somehow looked like Mark. And so I was just wondering, because I was like, Mark was so attractive. People, you think he's hot now? You should have seen when he was chicken. I mean, he was teen heartthrob gorgeous, and he was the hottest man in the room. And I went up to him and I said, don't I know you? And you were like, no. And no. I just leaned forward and started making out with him.
Did we make out right there in the bar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were in bed with each other within an hour.
And then after that hour, you turned and you said...
I said, I gotta go.
No, you said...
It's Easter Sunday.
Do you like the TV show Earth Final Conflict?
Well, because you had all this crazy stuff around your house.
But it was funny that you would ask me about a rare science fiction show that most people would not know about. And coming forward as a science fiction fan, you know... It could have been a costly.
Well, I think you had told me you had worked on some kind of science fiction musical or something. So
we connected and bonded and then, over that and our fandom of Star Trek. And so you could say that we were brought together by Star Trek.
Or the leather bar, the Eagle, which is now closed. Sorry,
They fucked it up. They lost their liquor license because they thought they were going to be able to move it from one place to another, and then they lost in both locations. David Huggins, did you watch The Killing? What did you think about the season finale?
I just taped it because you had commented, so I'm like, let me tape it so I can see it. I've watched The Killing here and there sporadically. I don't really necessarily understand what's going on, so I don't know how I'll feel when I watch it. And Fausto hasn't seen it. So April Sprank also writes, my boyfriend of 13 years has habits that annoy me. This is common in every relationship, gay or straight. What are some of the things that sometimes drive you crazy about Mark or Fausto? Everything about relationships you're going to get.
Every
crazy.
Single thing that mm-hmm. Mark does, even mm-hmm. the good things, drives me crazy. Mm-hmm.
Fausto leaves all the lights on in the house. That's the only one I'm going to say.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Mark does drives me crazy.
Okay.
Every single thing.
So David A. Huggins says, your show has been compared to Oprah, and you've often endorsed this comparison.
Yes.
If that's true, when will you do a Fausto and Mark's favorite things and give away to listeners dream vacations, luxury vehicles, and presents?
Well, when the people who make those products give them to us to give to you.
Yes.
Then we would be happy to contemplate an assortment of products to mm-hmm. give away to listeners.
Mark's favorite things.
But there's no reason. From time to time, musicians that come on our show leave a stack of CDs and we give them away to our listeners. So, mm-hmm. you know, from time to time, we definitely do that. If you are a person that works at a company and wants to drive your product out to thousands of influential, savvy, educated people with jobs and computers, not just iPods, contact us, mail at Feast of Fun, and we should do one for Christmas. I actually used to do strange things you can buy on eBay back in the early days of the podcast, but it's just so much research.
Mm-hmm.
And advertisers, you know, they're everybody's so coming all over their pants over Groupon right now. And I just think, you know, it's okay to do a coupon and stuff, but it's like, you know, it's always like, get a second hot dog for free or get a manicure. It's
a lot of things I would never.
Yeah, it's like Groupon seems to me like if you're a a person who likes to eat a lot of junk food and get a lot of manicures, then it's a great place to look for deals.
I think it's for people that really consume a lot of products, like that go out to eat at a lot of restaurants that do go get their nails done.
It's always sushi or hot dogs.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people give them as gifts, things like that. They give as gifts.
But, you know, it's like, just give me cash, really. Mm. David wants to know, how should a family headed by two lesbians celebrate Father's Day? Why not celebrate it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Father's Day is about cultivating the male energy, mm-hmm. the parental figure inside you. And if you are a father to somebody, if you have nurtured and cultivated that relationship with somebody, why not acknowledge it?
Mm-hmm.
He says, do you think marriage equality activists do enough to outreach to religious organizations? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Should religious organizations be exempt from performing gay marriages? Religious organizations, I think some churches don't even marry black and white people still to this day. Isn't that right?
Some churches?
Yeah, some churches in the South will not marry interracial couples.
Probably. I'm sure that there are some probably fringe churches that do that.
And I don't think, you know, really... You know, I think we want to be in a place where, you know, as a religious organization, you want to be inclusive, because I think mm-hmm. any group that is inclusive is stronger and better. Because when you have challenges, mm-hmm. when you have pebbles of life coming across you, the diversity of your group is what's going to save you. Just like the X-Men.
Right. Well, it's the thing is that when you have people of different skills and different outlooks, you know, you always have somebody that's good at something and somebody that can sound the alarm.
Like the X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, there's the Aurora, the Native American chick with the white hair, played by Halle Berry,
mm-hmm.
who can control the weather.
Storm.
But sometimes you just needed the brute force of Wolverine mm-hmm. to stab your way through.
Or the sexy good looks of, who was the guy with the...
Cyclops.
James Marsden. I don't know what his power was besides his stunning good looks.
I think it had something to do with his eyes.
Yes.
Or eye.
Mm-hmm.
He was known as Cyclops.
Yes. Oh, because he could
burn people
with his good
looks. Well, because he had, you know, he was gay, and so you know how gay men can give you that look of evil, that sizzling look, and he just had that mutated up, kicked up a notch, so mm-hmm. he could literally cut holes through metal with his eyes. Angela Wells, God love you, Angela. Currently gobsmacked at one man's efforts to ban circumcision in California by creating a superhero called Foreskin Man.
Mm.
Shouldn't he be drawn wearing a turtleneck?
he should be. He kind of looks like a cross between like Thor and some kind of like Superman X-Men character. But some Foreskin people are saying man. That he's kind of like, he's rather racist because, you know, he's this hot Aryan looking stud. And then his nemesis, the monster, is the Mohel. Mole, I think they call him a mole. And he's the Jewish religious guy, rabbi, who snips off the foreskin. And so who has a dark complexion, hook nose, and is basically drooling at the thought of apparently doing harm to a child. And so some people say that he's, you know, a direct stereotype of Nazi propaganda.
Well, I mean, how do you feel about parents circumcising their boys?
Listen, if I had a son, I wouldn't do it. Now, there's some instances where they say that, you know, it is healthy in the respect that, you know, you can keep it clean, but, you know, you can always just wash it. And there's billions of people around the world that, you know, have no problem keeping it clean. There is some issue that you could spread it's easier to spread HIV, but also, you know, it's like you're mutilating the body. So if I had a kid, I wouldn't do it.
So is that a feeling, if your kid identifies as trans, then do you support? You know, I think it's for every parent and every person to make a decision for themselves. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is mutilating the body, but it's also shaping the body into the body that you want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, it's the parents shaping the child's body mm-hmm. the way they want it to be.
Right.
Well,
it was also born, you know, it's something that's like
sticky.
It's
a sticky situation.
Well, yeah, especially that. Well, the other thing is though too, is like you're dealing with this is a culture that started doing this. I don't know how many thousands of years ago. They basically lived in a desert. Maybe it was hard to clean your dick back then. You know? Why
wouldn't you do that? Yeah. If you had no water, all you had is sand, why wouldn't you want to have a circumcision? But in this day and age, we have things called water and soap and cleansing. You know, have you been with a guy who's been circumcised?
Besides you?
No, uncircumcised, I mean.
Oh, yes, I have.
What did you think about the sexual experience?
That was fine.
Because sometimes I've been with guys who are circumcised and they didn't wash down there. And when their throbbing dick is like pointing at my face and they want me to suck him off, and I'm just kind of like, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, I've never been with one that hasn't been clean. I don't put nasty things in my mouth like you do. Never have, never will.
Listen, you.
I'm not trying to be judgmental.
I'm not judgmental, but I wouldn't say you're a whore, but you're an early adopter of STDs.
Don't rob Peter to pay Paul. That was for a later podcast.
Oh, we could do it twice. Okay. People, listen, if a joke is worth telling, it's worth telling many times.
Okay.
You're like, this joke can't be said anymore. It was an interesting, we hung out with a lot of the comedians that had been on this podcast yesterday for Adam Guarino's birthday party, which is a comedian here in Chicago. And I was having a really fascinating conversation about performance art, stand-up comedy, and performing for an audience of your peers as opposed to an audience of fans or strangers. And he said that when you're performing for an audience of your peers, you tend to get gross out, because trying to be funny or trying to be charming isn't going to work. And so comedians that do open mic nights for other comedians tend to be really filthy. Because of the fact that they're performing for people who are really not there to be entertained, they're there to think about what makes things funny. And because it's so painful to be on stage to tell jokes and then to not hear laughter or applause from an audience, that they start just treating this as a therapy session, and they just get real dark and dirty.
You have to go see it sometime.
And performance art from the 1990s and sort of like even Lady Gaga's own sort of direction comes from the fact that maybe these people are creating this for their friends, and their friends are like jaded, and they're just like, oh, Lady Gaga, what else are you going to do for me now? And she's like, well, I could make a dress covered in meat.
Oh.
And they're like, okay. You know, that's crazy.
You think that's what she's trying to do?
I think she definitely is working with a lot of people that she's been friends with and involved with for a long time. And so maybe that might be something that's happening.
Now,
is that everybody's trying to one-up each other. And so every idea that gets presented to Lady Gaga to do is outrageous.
Now, didn't we say that we wanted to see Lady Gaga do a salute to Showgirls?
Yes. I wanted Lady Gaga to somehow reference the performances in the movie Showgirls, which I think are really strange, and the costumes are weird. And once again, Lady Gaga does what we tell her to do.
If you want Lady Gaga to do anything, write to us on Feast of Fun. And if we approve of your idea, we will announce it on the show and Lady Gaga will do it.
So we wanted Lady Gaga to do something about Showgirls. And in her new video, Edge of Glory, she reenacts the third act from the show Goddess that takes place in the movie Showgirls, where the dancers go into a S&M leather hell, and the character of Nomi Malone dresses up as a slave girl who's being bullied by Crystal Connors.
Well, what's wonderful too is that outfit is like, I just look at the outfit and you know it's Versace, because it's a Versace style clothing.
It's pronounced Versace, Mark.
And so I was just like, wait, and then the hair is kind of very much like Nomi Malone's hair. It's the same haircut. And then the outfit underneath, you see it's that leather outfit and you're like, wow, it's pretty much the same.
I was expecting Gina Gershon to pop in any second, and then Lady Gaga kicking her down a flight of stairs.
Well, the thing is, is there anybody else in the video besides Lady Gaga? It's basically Lady Gaga dancing around Sesame Street. I think it's the same.
It's a street that looks like Sesame Street, but it's more like a Brooklyn urban landscape.
But it's a very simple video. People are like, oh, it's such a blah video. And it's like, yeah, it's a blah video, because it's like, how many masterpiece videos can you produce for an album? You know, not every song gets a fantastic budget.
I think Brian De Palma, he's not working on anything these days. He could direct her next video.
He should.
Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. He directed Goonies for Cindy Lauper. Why
he
not?
He could do that. He could do that.
Help me, Steven Spielberg! What I do now?
Steven Spielberg turns to the camera and goes, Literally, that's how the video All right. went.
So are you ready for our, should we do our expose now?
So here is the expose. So you know,
let's play
Randall,
a little honey badger.
Randall, who is an anonymous video artist who has created a internet sensation with these hilarious narrative of existing Wild Kingdom animal footage. And he's best known for his video, Honey Badger. And it's the line from it is, Honey Badger Don't Care. Take a listen.
This is the Honey Badger. Watch it run in slow motion. It's pretty badass. Look, it runs all over the place. Whoa, watch out, says that bird. Ew, it's got a snake. Oh, it's chasing a jackal. Oh my gosh. Oh, the honey badgers are just crazy. The honey badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a shit. If it's hungry, it's hungry. Ew, what's that in its mouth? Oh, it's got a cobra? Oh, it runs backwards? Now watch this. Look, a snake's up in the tree. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a shit. It just takes what it wants. Whenever it's hungry, it just, ew, and it eats snakes? Oh my god, watch it dig. Look at that digging. The honey badger is really pretty badass. They have no regard for any other animal whatsoever. Look, and it's just grunting and, ew, eating snakes. Ew, what's that, a mouse? Oh, that's nasty. Oh, they're so nasty. Ooh, look, it's chasing things and eating them. The honey badgers have a fairly long body, but a distinctly thick set, broad shoulders, and, you know, their skin is loose, allowing them to move about freely. And they twist around. Now look, here's a house full of bees. You think the honey badger cares? It doesn't give a shit. It goes right into the house to bees to get some larva. How disgusting is that? It eats larva. Ew, that's so nasty. But look, the honey badger doesn't care. It's getting stung like 1,000 times. It doesn't give a shit. It's hungry. It doesn't care about being stung by bees. Nothing can stop the honey badger when it's hungry.
I've learned so much about the honey badger from watching Randall's video. Like, most people don't even know what a honey badger is.
Mm. Well, you know, this is in Africa, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. They have a badgers, like, here. And I think they're called wolverines here, but they have badgers in the UK. So they're an animal that gets around. They kind of fill that, like, whole raccoon kind of niche, but, like, more ferocious.
And he's made an amazing... Randall, for being an anonymous mm-hmm. person... who will not come forward with his identity. Mm-hmm. We have written back and forth with him to come on the show. And through the fact that he's disappeared, mm-hmm. we assume that he's no longer interested, although he considers himself a listener of the show. And Randall, please forgive us if we are really exposing your true identity here on the show. We did give you the opportunity to come on the show, and you decided not to do it. So... we're going to expose to the audience who Randall is.
Who we think Randall is.
And Randall, like, that honey badger whole thing, like, it's been used in television commercials.
Yeah, some insurance commercial or something.
You know, which I didn't think was that effective.
No, it was
like,
kind of
they didn't use his charm and his charisma mm-hmm. for it.
Well, and they also did it, they also made it animated because they didn't want to use the video, the footage from the BBC.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So here is, BBC, yeah. Now... the other day, Mark was watching comedy videos and mm-hmm. scouting talent to come on the show, and I just started hearing you playing this guy's voice, and I said, oh, Randall has a new video. But no, it's comedian Brad Lekel. Lekel, like...
Lekel, local? I'm not really sure. It's L-O-E-K-L-E.
And so we think that he is the voice behind the Honey Badger Don't Care. Take a listen and see what you think.
It is Tuesday night, it is Fleet Week, and I'm exhausted. Oh! How much can one man support the troops? I'm not saying those sailors are fucking gay, but I have more DNA on me than a crime scene. That's inappropriate. What's going on, guys? It's summer. Woo! I love the summer. I love all summer long. I do these gigs out on Fire Island in Cherry Grove, which if you're not, Long Island knows Cherry Grove. It's a big gay sandbar, basically. And last year we had this big E. coli scare out there. I got there 1 week, and they had notices in all the hotel rooms that said, you know, just so you know, FYI, might be a little E. coli in the water. And then they listed how you would know if you had contracted E. coli, and they were like, you know, cold sweats, feverish, dizziness, diarrhea, vomiting, and potentially blackouts. And I was like, fuck! I have had E. coli like every morning for 7 years.
So that is comedian Brad Local. Do you think that now listening to it again, do you think it is him? Or?
I don't know. It's kind of sounds, there's something like the intonation there.
Because if I talk like this, obviously it doesn't sound like me. Mm-hmm. But if I do like this, you know, Honey Badger don't care. Honey Badger don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at it. Look at it going around. You know, if it could be a character of his. It could be a different way for the same person to speak.
Well, I want to hear from the listeners. Anybody out there that knows?
Because the internet out there, you do know what's going on, and you can find out in ways that we ordinary mortals cannot.
Well, can't you, because you're like, you know how to do like sound. Can't you like compare like wavelengths?
If they say the same words.
Oh, really?
You can compare waveforms to each other, absolutely.
But he's also putting, like Randall's a voice, though. He changes it.
Yeah,
it's a little
he does
more.
He persnicketies it up.
More, what is it?
He speaks a little higher, yes. Just like Paul Lynde. Hi, everyone. This is Faust. I mean, I actually changed my voice to do this podcast.
You do?
This is my real voice.
That's your real voice?
I sound like Hal Jordan from the Green Lantern movie. Just like Ryan Reynolds butches it up for... Green Lantern. You know Ryan Reynolds is like, hey girl, what's up? Oh, do I have to do Hal Jordan? Okay, who? Brightest in the brightest day, in the darkest night, no evil shall escape my sight. To those who worship evil's might, beware my power, Green Lantern's light! Sounds like he's taking a shit at the end of
but
it.
But he's also very, like, he always had little smart, sassy little lines to deliver, too.
He sure did.
He likes to be a little smart ass in movies, too.
I can't decide whose body I like the most. Is it Ryan Reynolds? Is it Chris Evans? Chris Hemsworth?
Well, I'm still waiting for Captain America to come out.
Chris Evans probably has the best body although Chris Hemsworth's pretty damn good.
But who's going to show it off more? That's the most important
thing. Chris Evans.
You think? He's going to
Because his brother's gay. And, you know, when you have a gay brother, it's kind of like you're half gay yourself.
Right. You're gay by association.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're gay by DNA. Mm-hmm. It rubs off on you. And so, you know, he knows what the guys want to see.
And so he'll show it.
And he's happy to show it. Like, there's that when he transforms to Captain America, as the Bostonians like to say, and the scientist touches his chest and he kind of flinches and goes, oh, my pecs are so sensitive now that I'm Captain America. Ooh, I didn't realize I'd be so horny all the time.
So very sexy. You know what else?
Let's talk about Green Lantern. I'd had no idea that there were like alternative rhymes, or what is that this called? The slogan or the chant, chant?
The oath to the Green Lantern.
The oath to the Green Lantern.
Okay.
You know, there's like, there's other ones that they used in the past.
Really? So it's not this one?
No. This is like the most common one. So let me read you some of them in the past. This is a different character, Red Lantern's oath. With blood and rage of crimson red, ripped from a corpse so freshly dead, together with our hellish hate, we'll burn you all, and that's your fate.
Well, that's not green, that's Red Lantern.
That's Red Lantern. Sinestro, he says, who's the, you know, he's originally the good guy. I don't want to give a little movie away.
Well, you
can't
have a name like Sinestro and not turn out to be evil.
So guess what, kids? At the end of the movie, guess who becomes evil? Yes, Sinestro. In the blackest day, in the brightest night, beware your fears made into light. Let those who try to stop what's right burn like my power, Sinestro's might. Sounds like Eartha Kitt a little bit. And then this is some of the earlier Green Lantern oaths that sound... You tell me if it sounds a little gay. You who are wicked, evil, and mean. I'm the nastiest creep you've ever seen. Come one, come all, and put up a fight. I'll pound your butts in with Green Lantern's light.
Pound my butt in, what?
Ryan Reynolds can put on a ring and do pretty much anything he wants to me at any time of the day and night. Even if he's, I hear from the our friends in Hollywood that he's kind of a pompous person.
Mm.
That he thinks he's God's gift to man.
Well.
And he kind of is.
He's hot, but he's he ain't
no,
all that.
He ain't no Chris Evans hot.
Well, we'll see what happens when that Avengers movie comes out.
That I just like that Hollywood all of a sudden has said, let's take the hottest, most buffed actors we can find and have them wear as little clothes as possible in our movies.
If we finally get men who are like,
I know.
Alive.
Remember, you remember when John Travolta was considered a sex symbol? Staying alive? Oh, God. It's like, Hollywood, you've come a long way, baby.
I know.
And we thank you so much for that. Mm. And we thank you so much for listening to today's show. We could not do it without you. And if we're not around next month, we thank you so much for being a fabulous audience and listening to us through all these years. It's really been an honor to entertain you guys. And we're sorry that we can't afford to continue doing the show. We just, you know, I'd like for our audience to, I know that our audience is going to come through for us.
I know they will. They will.
They will. And we count on you. When we say we count on you for it to exist, we really do mean it. So go to feastoffun.com/donate and contribute. We're going to leave you here with some music.
A little blast from the past.
Take Me Home, Don Juan Dracula. We used to play the song all the time way back in the early days of podcasting. I don't know if the band is still together
or anything.
But we just love the sound of that speak and spell, the beginning, and that wonderful beat, Take Me Home. It's a real classic. It's still available on iTunes. We urge you to get it. Remember that 5% of your music store purchases go back to support this podcast, but your direct financial support is the best way you can support us. So once again, thank you. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
Bye. Bye-bye. Tonight.